I want to start off with some really good news. Can you handle some good news? Yeah. It's really good news. So we have, obviously, we as a church have talked about youth camp. It's going to be in the summer and all that kind of stuff. And if you don't know this, maybe you don't know this, we don't have the kids sell like cookie dough, which is really sad because I'd buy some. And we don't have them sell. And there's nothing against fundraising, but we thought, hey, let's make sure they don't have to fundraise in order to get to camp to learn about Jesus. So we as a church do this, if you missed it, for about 2 weeks, 3 weeks. We don't even do it for all that long. We just say, hey, if you want to help provide scholarship for kids to go to camp, then just provide it, whatever you want. And you need to know that we set a goal that we could provide 75 full scholarships. We have exceeded that goal. So that's good news. Yeah. So perhaps that could be incentive. Like, do not be bashful about asking for a scholarship because kids are expensive. And so don't be bashful. But that's what the church is here for, right? That's what the church should be about, that we help kids do a lot of things, but one, get to camp. So there you go. There's your good news. That has nothing to do with the sermon. In fact, let me bring you into the sermon now. The sermon, we as a church have been talking about, obviously, the first church. What that means is when Jesus, like, ascends into heaven and leaves, let's call them all these baby Christians, all these people who are like, we saw things, it was amazing, but then he's like, all right, go live this out. And then now you and I are in 2024, living it out. And it's like, some days it's awkward, right? Some days we have good days, bad days, and all that. We've been looking at the first church going, how did you do this? Like, you had stuff going on in your lives. How'd you walk out following Jesus? And you and I have a tendency to think they knew everything. They had all their problems resolved. They had everything memorized. No, and that's what we're learning. Well, the series that we're doing is about to take a major left turn. In fact, there's 3 weeks remaining. This is one of those 3 weeks. I am going to basically park the car on a subject that the first church wrestled with, and it was a good one. We're going to spend 3 weeks. It's such a deep topic, such a misunderstood topic of what they wrestled with, dealt with, processed, happened to them, might be even words that you say. So you and I need to spend 3 weeks unpacking what played out. So let me go before the first church actually starts and actually show you something Jesus said. He tried to prep them. In John 14, he says, if you love me, obey my commandments. Okay? And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. So just lock that a little bit in your mind. He will give you an advocate who will never leave you. That's amazing if you just read it slowly. Like, he's going to give us an advocate who will never leave us. Okay? He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Now, just logically think about this. If you've read the Bible or you've ever heard any preacher or someone tell you that Jesus dies, resurrects, comes like back to life, talks to people, witnesses and all that, but then ascends to heaven. But he just says in this, I'll never abandon you. And so sometimes we think like, is that like metaphorically? But what he just said is he's gonna leave the Holy Spirit. This is what the first church encountered in significant ways. So Jesus comes back to life after dying, and we walk right into Acts. And let me show you Acts. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? Encouraging word here. He comes back to life. He's been crucified. He comes back to life. And they still don't stink and get it. They're like, oh, now you're alive again. Now you're going to take over the government. And he replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After saying this, He was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. Jesus literally, I know it sounds like a sci-fi movie, goes into the clouds, gone. But he says, you are going to receive the Holy Spirit. In church, I'm going to out all of us. We talk about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We talk about when people get baptized, you're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But some of us are sitting there asking the question, so that just doesn't make sense to me. How can God be three and specifically the Spirit part? So we're going to spend a few weeks on this because the first church, you see, this was a major deal with the first church, because they moved from having Jesus literally in the flesh to him saying, I'm going to give you my Spirit. Let me give you a bullet point list. This is not exhaustive. So you got to be, just take your time. Some of you right now, you're going through questions in your head. He's going to talk about, just chill out. Okay, here we go. So let me just give you some basics about the Holy Spirit just to clear some things up. The third person of the Trinity, if you've ever heard of the Trinity. By the way, the Bible doesn't actually say the Trinity. We just, when you read the Bible, even go all the way to creation, you and I begin to learn that there are three. Okay, and you're like, okay, Father, and we learn about the Father and the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. The third person is the Holy Spirit. Active. He's active with God the Father and God the Son. If you read Hebrew and Greek, just for fun, that's what the Bible was originally written in. You can translate the words, and the words used to describe the Holy Spirit are words like spirit, wind, breath. And that's why sometimes we even miss the mentioning of the Holy Spirit as we're reading it, because it says the wind, and we're like, well, okay, the wind. And we're like, no. The writer was actually saying something bigger than that. This is important. Not an impersonal force or emotion. I mean, little soapbox. Sometimes, I've done it too, so I'm not hating. Sometimes when we go to church or we leave church or we listen to a song or we go, and you might say, I felt the Holy Spirit, or you might say, I didn't feel the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we have a tendency, it's a danger, to equate the Holy Spirit to just being an emotion. And we got to be careful, because we're dumbing down God. He's far more. The Holy Spirit is more than just goosebumps and like, ooh, I felt that. It's bigger than that. But sometimes, even though we say it with our words, we're not actually meaning it. We're processing. So I just got to bring up, the Holy Spirit is not simply some feeling that you're having or not having. God does not like remove himself from you and then get close to you based on how good you've been, in a sense where we begin to like, I just felt. You can feel the presence of the Spirit, but you need to know the Spirit can be there and you don't feel the presence of the Spirit. He's not simply just an emotion. I'm off the soapbox. There we go. That's why I also put, he has a mind, a will, and emotions. He's real. But you and I watch so many movies and read books and have this stuff going on in our heads, and we're like, it just kind of like, are we talking about Casper? Like what is this? Okay? And I want to put it on the table to you and I can have the real honest talk about the Holy Spirit, and it doesn't have to be weird. Because I would contend this. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you would say, I am a disciple of Jesus, you need to not resign yourself to the fact going, I don't understand the Holy Spirit, so I'm just going to wait for heaven to learn. No. Sometimes we do that. Sometimes we're like, this is so complicated, I'm not even taking that journey. I'm just going to be ignorant. No. You need to know about the Holy Spirit. Now, with that being said, guess who can't tell you everything about God? Me. You got that? Like, there's some mystery about the Holy Spirit. There's some things about God. I don't think God would be God if I could tell you everything about God, because God is bigger and better than you and I and knows a lot more than you and I know. So for me to actually, if I can tell you, you know, I could perfectly describe everything about the Holy Spirit, I can't. So here's my role in your life, should you not know what it is. I'm going to show you what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit. That's what we're going to do. In fact, if you've ever had information overload, I'm about to beat whatever you have, because this is going to be so much information. It's going to be ridiculous. You will likely have the thought, some point in this sermon, oh, that's right, he said this would be, and it is. This first sermon, a part of this Holy Spirit stuff, I got to give you tons of information from the Bible so you know we're not talking about something that we've imagined. So let's start with an easy one, somewhat easy. So what's the Holy Spirit up to? Right? Like, all right. Well, I'll show you what the Bible says about what the Holy Spirit's up to. John 15:26 says, "But I will send you the Advocate, the Spirit of truth. He will come to you from the Father, and and will testify all about me." So as you and I begin to get our minds around, like, why did God send his Spirit to dwell in the souls of Christians? Why? Well, according to this, to testify about me being Jesus. To testify about Jesus. To somehow, think of it like a spotlight. Think about it, I don't know, maybe you're on a computer and you highlight to like draw on attention onto Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing. I'll show you more, just so you know it's not just one place. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you that what he's heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. It's interesting language as you and I begin to figure out, like, why is the Holy Spirit here? All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. Can I give you an overgeneralized statement? I'm admitting that this is way overgeneralized, but I'm trying to help us understand. Here we go. The Holy Spirit is here to bring all focus on Jesus. I know that's a rather general statement, but many of us wrestle with why the Holy Spirit? What's his job? And the problem is, we think we're defining his job and we're going too far into the weeds and we're finding one part of something he does and defining that as what that's the reason, and you're missing it. I would say the overarching thing of what he's doing is trying to draw all attention onto Jesus. He wants you to know who Jesus is. He wants your life fully devoted to Jesus. He wants you to listen to Jesus, talk about Jesus, dwell on Jesus, live for Jesus. So the Holy Spirit, I believe, according to Scripture, is going to spend all of your life working on getting you to know who Jesus is and to live for Jesus. That's what he's doing. I know I'm overgeneralizing, and I'll get into more specifics, but I think that helps a little bit. Let me walk you a little bit more back into Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus. It's odd that he would pick that's the one we can't curse. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Apparently, the Holy Spirit has a very distinct purpose here and amongst us. 1 John chapter 4. This is how we know if they have the Spirit of God. If a person claiming to be a prophet acknowledges that Jesus Christ came in a real body, that person has the Spirit of God. But if someone claims to be a prophet and does not acknowledge the truth about Jesus, that person is not from God. Such a person has a spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard is coming into the world and indeed is already here. You see more and more evidence about this is about Jesus. Do you know Jesus, follow Jesus, love Jesus? And the Holy Spirit is going to work overtime to help you know who Jesus is. It's why the mission statement of our church is a bad sentence to show people who Jesus is. We believe wholeheartedly that the Holy Spirit wants to use the church to show people who Jesus is. So the Holy Spirit is here to bring all focus on Jesus. Now, okay, let's do a little bit of an object lesson here. If you want to think about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, let me help. Maybe this might help. This might confuse some of you, and I apologize early. Leaving the Holy Spirit out of your walk with the Lord, like, tabling the conversation about the Holy Spirit and saying, I don't understand, it seems spooky, it seems weird, it seems what to, is like using a three-legged stool but removing one of the legs. Now let me show you what's in my mind. It's like trying, and this might be stupid, but because this really actually, it says, if I remove my hand from this, you know what happens, right? It's logical. So what happens is many of us understand information about Jesus. In fact, let's go for it. Many of us believe that God created the heavens and the earth. We believe that, like, this is, I mean, you don't believe your watch made itself, so you're like, okay, if my watch didn't make itself, then I think probably God made all this stuff and spun the earth perfectly, and if you just look at how our bodies are made and how it's all perfect and amazing, you're like, okay, I believe in God the Father, then I know just historically to disprove, you can't even disprove Jesus. It's not even honest if you say Jesus didn't exist. So you're like, I get God the Father, God the Son, but God the Holy Spirit weirds me out, so I'm not going to believe in that. Which means this is your faith. This is your walk with God. Meaning, you are trying to play one of the roles that only God can play in your relationship with God. And do you know what happens when that happens? You get tired and distracted. Some of you are very nervous right now. And this begins to tip, and I'm not going to let it tip. But that helps me. It's always helped me. It's what I share with my kids. And it becomes to be like, so you and I have got to be willing to say, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and I need to have the Holy Spirit involved in my life, and I need to know what in the world he is, who he is, what in the world. So let's talk about this. Let's work on maybe you and I seeing what Scripture says about that third leg of the stool, so we're not trying to do all the work that the Holy Spirit can actually do in our lives. It leaves two questions that I get asked. First one. Does the Holy Spirit work in the lives of unbelievers? I'm going to use the word unbeliever, meaning this if that's new to you. That's someone who has chosen not to believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. For whatever reason, whether it's a lack of information or a complete rejection or whatever, does the Holy Spirit communicate to, work in, get around, bother with, spend any time with someone who does not believe even in the Holy Spirit? I think it's an important question. So, let's find out, not my opinion. The Bible says, and when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father, and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. If you're like, what in the world is that saying? That's like me in class in seminary. Let me show you. Let me break down these three words. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. That's what that just talked about. By definition, when you look at that verse, it's talking about people who don't yet have their life surrendered to Jesus. That the Holy Spirit has come to convict people of their sin, which gives you and I evidence going, so the Holy Spirit doesn't just spend time with perfect people. That's all I'm trying to help you understand Scripture. Like if he's going to convict people, then you and I can breathe a little sigh of relief going, oh, then you mean the Holy Spirit can talk to me even on my worst days? Yes. Righteousness, about righteousness, the standard of right, the world's standard or God's standard. The Holy Spirit is here in part to help you and I know what God's standard is. And for him to teach us what God's standard is, it means some of us don't know what God's standard is. I'm being as elementary as I can. You catch this, right? Like if he's here to help us convict us of our sin and to know God's standard, because you know the world's going to tell you its own standard. Welcome to life all the time. For if the Holy Spirit's not going to waste time, and then judgment, I put there, we judge others, we are very good at it. We judge others, but we struggle with divine judgment. In fact, divine judgment is, I suggest you never take on that role, by the way. Scripture is clear that God is actually the best judge, the most just judge. But when you look at those words, you begin to understand if the Holy Spirit is coming for those reasons, then the Holy Spirit, the answer is yes. The Holy Spirit works in the lives of people who do not believe in the Holy Spirit. You and I have got to understand it's not just a basic question, it's a crucial question, especially if someone you love dearly doesn't know who Jesus is as their Lord and Savior. If you want to know what is one of the main purposes that the church was even started by Jesus, it was because people didn't believe in Jesus, so he leaves the Holy Spirit with power to give us power to go about doing this. So if you want to know, the Holy Spirit isn't just for lack of better words, the Christians. We have got to understand that God loves everyone. There is no one ever made that God has not loved and wanted a relationship with. And he uses the Holy Spirit, he uses his Spirit to communicate, to speak with, to work in the lives of people who frankly run from the Holy Spirit. That's how much he loves us. That's the first question. I think the Bible answers that. The second question, does the Holy Spirit work in the lives of believers? Now I know most of us are like, well, of course. So the next question that I'm not gonna ask and I'm gonna help with, do you know all the ways? And if you're like me, you might say, I don't know if I know all the ways. So, let me warn you. we have an app as a church. Inside that app, you can go to this week, and then you can go to message notes, and what I'm about to share with you is already there. Here's why. I'm about to give you more information than you can stink and handle. Got it? If some of you are good note takers and you write so fast, yay you. Some of us write notes and get distracted and we don't even know what we're writing. We're just writing words and letters and we're like, I don't even know and I don't want you to miss this. So let me help you understand. What I'm about to share with you is already in the app that you can go back later. So what I'd rather you do is sit back, buckle up, and I'm going to show you not even all of the stuff the Bible says, but a ton of the stuff the Bible says. There's too much time. Let's do it. We just got to go. Okay, here. He guides with truth. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, he guides you with truth. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. You see where I found that from? It wasn't really that hard. It's just right there. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. If you want to know truth, he'll guide you with truth. Let's just keep rolling. He provides strength and power. And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised, but stay here in this city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. God believes that if you love him, that you are going to devote your life to him, but you're going to need power from him, strength from him. There's things he wants to do through you that you can't do on your own. You need the Holy Spirit, so he's provided the Holy Spirit. He provides strength and power. He leads us. Romans 8:14, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Now, for all who are led by the Spirit of God. You know something interesting? If you were to read the Bible in the next 5 minutes, which you can't, but if you were to do this from beginning to end, here's what you're going to start off. If you just open up page one of the Bible and start reading, you're going to watch God lead people with often objects and creation. It's interesting. He talks to Moses through a burning bush. Have you ever made, I mean, I've prayed, God, light this bush on fire and speak to me. If you ever wanted God to like audibly like open up the clouds and be like, see, I see you. Here's what you do next. And like, if you've ever wanted like that, you read the Old Testament. You're like, would you split the water for me? Would you do like often would use create? We'd like manifest major things in front of people. And you and I, if you've ever read the Old Testament, you're like, do that. Well, then he doesn't just lead people that way. He shows up in the flesh, Jesus Christ. God shows up in the flesh, and people are like, he's just there. And they just followed him. They literally followed him and just walked around with him. If you read the stories of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll watch them. He's doing miracles. He's doing amazing things. And they're like, it kind of feels like you're from God. And he's like, well, that's me. I am him. And talks to the woman at the well. And she's like, kind of seems like you might be, I don't know, the Messiah. He's like, that would be me. And he's just saying these things. And so they're just following him. But then he goes away. But God doesn't go away. He's still leading us. In fact, if you read more, do you know the Holy Spirit leads Jesus into the wilderness? And it's there where he fasts and is tempted. God has always been leading. God hasn't stopped leading, and he says he's still leading us. Now, in that same verse, here's something interesting. He makes us sons of God. This will be a fun one. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. And some of the ladies go, oh, that's not fair. You're right, it's not fair. And ladies, I think you're gonna like this one. Because I'm not going to change the genders on this. In fact, there are some translations who actually have, and it's annoying, just so you know, it's annoying. They're misrepresenting what Scripture is, and so some of our translations say he makes us children of God, which is somewhat accurate, but you miss something because, he makes us sons of God. What that means is sons in that culture had special privileges. Sorry, ladies, if you were the daughter, you just didn't get the same stuff. You didn't get the inheritance. You didn't get the notoriety. You didn't get the roles in society. You didn't get a lot of things. There's a lot you didn't get. And note this, that the Holy Spirit, when you decide to follow Jesus Christ, whether you are a girl or a boy, you are made the sons of God, meaning you are given the inheritance that sons get. And so that's why I'm not changing the gender on this one, okay? This is not intended. It's for you and I to understand that whoever you are, the Holy Spirit is proving to you that God loves you. In fact, walk that a little bit further. He confirms we are God's children. So it's not that it just stays there. Romans 8:16, for his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children, right? You begin to watch other places in the Bible that uses the word children. The Holy Spirit, one of the reasons the Holy Spirit is dwelling in the soul of a believer is to help you in your moments where you feel insecure about your relationship with God. Let me get into your business right now because you're like me and there are days where you wonder, where are you, God? I don't feel you, God. I don't know if you're there. And then there's God is so good. At some point, not always instantaneously, he'll confirm that he is with you. The Holy Spirit will confirm. The Holy Spirit, you need the Holy Spirit. He brings about rebirth and renewal. The Holy Spirit does. Once we too were foolish and disobedient, just leaving room for an amen. I thought that was a good point. They're just right here where we respond. But anyways, we were misled and became slaves to many lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of evil and envy, and we hated each other. But when God, our Savior, revealed his kindness and love, he saved us. Not because of the righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. You are made new by the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit because every one of us, at least in private, would say, yeah, I've been there before. I've made those kinds of decisions. Another one, he produces fruit in our lives. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I learned this when I was a kid, and I would go to church. We would go to what was called Sunday school, kids' church, and all that kind of stuff. Now, here's what I heard. Oh, I'm supposed to go do those things. And when I go do those things, when I do it on my own, then that means I'm a good Christian. Don't misread this. But the Holy Spirit produces that. Have you ever wanted self-control? The answer would be yes. Have you ever needed self-control? That might be a better word. Peace? You ever wanted peace? There are false religions out there that will tell you you can manifest your own peace. And it will be very temporary. But the Holy Spirit, when you let the Holy Spirit work in your life, he will produce the peace that seems absolutely impossible in the circumstances that you will find yourself in, and you'll be like, what in the world is going on? I just have a peace. You want the Holy Spirit. He helps us wait for what we hope. I hate waiting. Okay, that's what I thought. But we who live by the Spirit eagerly wait to receive by faith the righteousness God has promised to us. If you've ever been impatient with God, with life, with anyone, and you're like, I know I should be patient, I know I need to wait, the Holy Spirit would actually like to help you wait. I know it seems like that basic. He speaks through people. The Holy Spirit actually uses people to say things to you and I. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. So if you don't know this, if you've ever had you talk to someone and you're like, and they say, hey, I just feel like I'm supposed to like just tell you this. I think this is from the Lord. And you're like, how in the world did you know that? The Holy Spirit. Sometimes people will say, hey, thanks for the sermon. When you said such and such, it really spoke to me. And I sometimes don't correct it when I know that I did not say what they're saying. I just go like, Or some people will say, how'd you know to do this sermon series right now? Because it's right where I needed it. I'm like, I didn't. It's called the Holy Spirit. He just leads us. And sometimes we don't even know we're being led. God speaks through us. He calls us to specific ministry. One day, as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, appoint Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I have called them. There are ministries, there are things that God will want you to do, and you will be prompted by, or sometimes someone else will say, I think the Lord wants you to do this. I feel like he's spoken and said this, and so this is why sometimes we screw this up and we manipulate this. We shouldn't, but I'm telling you, he calls us to specific ministry. I have my own examples, and I know many of you do, where God led you to do something very specific, a specific ministry, whether it be a vocational ministry or maybe this one moment kind of thing. He is our deposit for God's guarantee. That's the Holy Spirit. It is God who enables us, along with you, to stand firm for Christ. He has commissioned us, and he has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment. I love that language. As the first installment that guarantees everything he has promised us. Meaning, if you have decided to follow Jesus and devoted your life to him, he gives you his Spirit to dwell in you, not just to help you, but literally as a deposit that he will make sure to guarantee. That's how much he means what he says. One of my favorite ones here, he encourages us. The church then had peace throughout Judea, Galilee, Samaria, and became stronger as the believers lived in the fear of the Lord. Now, don't miss a better word, reverence of the Lord, respect of the Lord. And with the encouragement of the Holy Spirit, it also grew in numbers. That's just one place, over and over and over and over and over in the Bible, that he talks about how the Holy Spirit wants to encourage you, wants to comfort you, is another word that you can find like over and over. And many of us go, I want to be encouraged, and no one's got the perfect word for us. No one on social media put a quote good enough for us that day. Or you go to work and no one seems to care about what you're feeling. They can't read your face. Your family just seems like they're going to be jerks all day long. And you're like, I need someone to encourage me. All the while, the Holy Spirit's like, if you'll just listen to me, if you'll just be still, he'd like to encourage you. And then maybe a biggie here, he transforms us. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord, and the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. He wants to transform you, but you need the Holy Spirit. I just touched the surface on what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit. My intention partly was to tell you so much you wouldn't remember it. I think I did well on that part. Do your own digging. Learn about what the Holy Spirit does for unbelievers and believers. But let's not finish a sermon just yet. Many of us have not regarded or thought about the Holy Spirit. Let me show you a very sad, sad state of Christianity. A survey was done recently. 69% of Christians accept their feelings and input of friends as their most trusted source of moral guidance. Christians. And then perhaps even more disconcerting, 62% contend the Holy Spirit is not a real living being. I show you that at the end of the sermon because could it be the breakdown that many of us are having right now? Where we've not spent much time learning about in our Bibles about the Holy Spirit, inviting the Holy Spirit to have his way in our life. We're just going, well, it doesn't make sense to me, a spirit. Quit trying to make sense of everything about God. Just let God be God in your life. And know that there's three parts. So here's a practical part of this whole sermon. You don't have to be on your own, according to all the stuff that I read to you, but you do have to trust. So what I would tell you is, as someone who has studied the Bible but has my own experiences with the Holy Spirit, a far more stable, long-lasting relationship with God is where you know about God the Father, if you also know about Jesus, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. This is not something to avoid. I mean, when I was in school, if the subject was difficult, I tried to get out of the subject. And I think a lot of us are kind of there too, right? I mean, I get it. Don't do that with this. You want a relationship with God where you don't have to try to be God. You want to be able to say, I don't understand everything. You probably have questions like I do. Why God this? Why God that? Why didn't you leave us with Jesus? Because if we could see him, it'd be easier to believe. Why'd you leave us with a spirit? I don't want a spirit. I want some physical. I want to be, I have these questions. Like, come on. But I also wonder, what a crazy world we would have in the world of video and phones if Jesus was in physical form. How limited. You know, Jesus talked about how greater things would be done when he left. In other words, he knew by staying in the flesh that it would restrict the advancement of the gospel. So he says, I got something better. I'm going to give you my power. I'm going to give you my spirit. And so no longer do we need a burning bush or even a Red Sea or any kind of sea divided. I challenge you this week. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Next week, we'll talk about gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us. We'll talk about conviction of the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about a day called Pentecost Sunday in the weeks to come. But you and I think this we need to wrestle with, do you believe in the three parts of God? Let me pray with us. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would do some work in our hearts, maybe even in our minds, God. Sometimes we get so scientific that we feel like we got to explain everything about you. And God, I love science. I think a bunch of us love science. Science is awesome, and it's great, but sometimes things, we just can't get our minds around everything. So God, for those of us who are wrestling with like your spirit, Lord, draw us to the places in your word to learn more about you. Soften our hearts, Lord, so that your spirit can even speak to us. Or maybe this week be a week that we are more open to your spirit than ever before. Lord, we invite you to be a part of every part of our lives, to use us, to speak to us, to change us, to transform us, to encourage us, to lead us wherever. God, we love you so much. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.